Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome you to the house of our Father, our God, and our Lord. We are gathered here to worship Him in the beauty of His holiness. We may be seated. Psalm 62 says, "Yes, my soul finds rest in God," starting from verse 5. "My hope comes from Him. Truly, He is my rock, He is my salvation, He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. The salvation and my honor, the salvation and my honor depends on God. He is my mighty rock. He is my refuge. Trust in Him all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Surely the low-born are but a breath, the high-born are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together they are only breath. Do not trust in exhortation or put vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your hearts on them. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God, and with you, Lord, is unfailing love, and you reward everyone according to what they have done." Our refuge, our strength, our fortress is our God. And we have come this morning to worship Him and to bless His holy name for who He is to us. We are going to stand as we are able, and we sing two songs. One of them is "Jesu Tabapano," "Jesus, we are here." And then we sing together "Tumamina," "Send me, Lord."
Jesus, Tabapano.
Let's pray. We are gathered to worship you. We are gathered here to bring our thanks to you this morning. Thank you for being our rock in the times when we have felt like we were sinking. Thank you for being our fortress in the times when we felt attacked. Thank you for always being there for us in the times when we have actually felt that you are there for us. Thank you for those times you have been there for us and we have not felt like you are there for us. But we thank you because we know that you are the Lord who is always in our midst and always there to support us, to hear us, to understand us, and to listen to us. And for that we are thankful because you are our Lord and you are our fortress. We are here to praise your name because you are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our worship because you are God. We thank you because you are Master. To you we submit. From you we hear the instructions and the commands. Help us, God, as your people, to be attentive to your calling. Thank you for your patience with us, sometimes when we don't respond to your commands, when we know what we are supposed to do and we choose not to do it, and you still remain faithful to your covenant with us. For that we are thankful. You forgive our sins. You forgive our iniquities. You forgive our arrogance. You forgive our stubbornness. You forgive our carelessness. We thank you because your word declares that you are faithful and just to forgive us when we confess our sins. Thank you for your arms that are always open to welcome and to receive us. This morning, we glorify your name. We praise your name. We worship you because you are worthy of our worship. King of kings and Lord of all lords, we ascribe greatness, power, honor, authority to your name. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Family news.
Good morning. I hope you're sitting comfortably. I've got a few notices for you. We welcome everybody this morning to our service, and we'll be serving tea and coffee at the back of the church. Please do join us. Tuesday lunch, the church lunch is on Tuesday the 13th of February, and we're having jacket potatoes, and you need to choose your filling. Otherwise, so could you see me, please? Otherwise, I'll make the choice for you, and you might not like chili, so, you know. Please see me. I expect some of you know that this week we're now in the middle of the week of prayer for Christian unity. That started on the 18th, finishes on the 25th. And there is a service this evening at the Pentecostal Church Centre in Burbage, Tilton Road. If anybody needs a postcode or anything to get there, please see me. And it's at 6 p.m. So that's a service, churches together, for the week of prayer for Christian unity. As a gentle reminders, that there is a church meeting on Sunday the 18th of February, for which everyone is invited. Anyone who comes to church is welcome to be present at that, but obviously only members will be able to vote. At the back of the church, behind Philip and Candid, there's a little table with some knickknacks on it, donated by Sue Doherty's family. They're Christian things that Sue treasured, and the family would like us to have anything that we would like. So please have a look, and if there's anything that you would like, there's books and all sorts there. So if there's anything you would like, please feel free to take it with Sue in your mind. Some reminders too from Paul, reminding us about the church challenge. There's little notices dotted around, so that's another little pocket thing you can take with you. And also he's given out some information on the CIC, I don't know what the word is, thing that we were talking about. A couple of people were questioning, what is it? Well, the pieces of paper, there's an A4 piece of paper dotted around. That will tell you what it is, and there's another one on the back of the table there if you want to have a look at it before the church meeting in February. Is that all? Have I covered everything? Anybody, anything else that I should have covered? No? Okay. Thank you very much. Well, remember the church family in the prayers of intercession. So we'll now sing our hymn, Blessed Assurance, during which the offertory for God's work in this church will be collected. Thank you.
Savior and Redeemer, thank you for what you have done for us on the cross. We respond to your love through these gifts and many other gifts. Receive glory, praise, and honor from your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll ask Sue to give us prayers of intercession. Yes.
I've borrowed the prayers this week from the Reverend Camilla Veitch. Let us pray. When I say, Lord, in your mercy, please reply, hear our prayer. God of mercy, you surprised your prophet Jonah by showing him that with you transformation is always possible. Be with those whose cities have been destroyed and whose lives have been ruined in recent conflicts and disasters. Give comfort and hope to the people in Gaza and Israel, in Ukraine, Libya, Afghanistan, Iran. Please all bless all who give their time and gifts to create caring communities and flourishing relationships around the world and here in our town. We hold before you a situation in our lives which is fraught with conflict and ask you to shine your transforming light on us. Lord, you call us to leave our old ways to follow you. Lead us now in your ways of reconciliation and peace, we pray, that we may be a sign of peace in a troubled world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of new beginnings, you came in Jesus to bring in a new era, with repentance leading the way for good news. Strengthen and encourage all who have started new terms at school, college, and university, and send your Holy Spirit on anyone who has recently made a new beginning in their life. Be with all who long for a new beginning and who cannot see a way out of difficulty, pain, loss, or grief, and grant them a sign of hope to hold on to. Be in the fire of hearts of the wrongly accused post office workers and in all who long to see justice done and wrongs righted. By your grace, help us to show your good news in this church, in our worship, our activities and outreach, and our relationships. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of unending love, we are here because you first loved us and have called us in Jesus to be your own. When we lack it, the enthusiasm of Simon and Andrew, renew your joy and purpose as we walk in your ways. For people for whom following you has meant giving up everything, we pray for your affirmation. For any who are wondering what their calling might be, or if you are calling them to something new, we pray for your guidance. For those who risk their all to reach these shores in search of security and hope, we pray for safety. Be close to all those whose livelihoods is at sea, and guide those with influence to bring stability to the troubled Red Sea. Lord Jesus, who stilled the storm and called disciples by the lakeside, we hold before you friends in need, for whom the waves are raging around and within. We pray for our family. Dennis, Trevor and Ruth, Ethel Farmer's family, and all others who are unwell at this time. We think of Paul and Annette, Julie's mum, and Brian and Jan, Candid, Joyce and Arthur, and all those, Lord, unnamed, who are close to our hearts. We think of them in a time of silence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Drop thy still dews of quietness till all our striving cease. Take from our souls the strain and stress, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace. Amen. Let us say together the Lord that Jesus took the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
As we are able, we are going to stand up and sing, O Jesus, I have promised, and then we will have the reading.
Thank you. This morning's reading is taken from Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 20. In Galilee, success and opposition. After John had been arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. The time has come. The kingdom of God is upon you. Repent and believe the gospel. Jesus was walking by the shore of the Sea of Galilee when he saw Simon and his brother Andrew on the lake at work with a casting net, for they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come with me, and I will make you fishers of men." And at once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in the boat overhauling their nets. He called them, and leaving their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men, they went off to follow him.
I want to try and share with you from a title, God is in the business of calling people. It is important to recognize that it is ultimately God who calls us to be whatever we will find ourselves being called to. As far as we know, each and every one of the disciples was chosen and called personally by Jesus. We believe that God calls each and every one of us. And God not only calls us to follow Jesus, but also calls us into the field of careers and of lives. We often as church or people speak of God's calling too narrowly, as if God calls people only into ordained ministry. But that is not true only, because God calls people into ordained ministry, but people are also called into lay ministry. And I believe being a parent is a calling. I believe being a teacher is a calling. I believe being a grandmother is a calling. I believe being a cleaner is a calling, that we find ourselves called by God. God calls people to pastor churches, and he calls church workers. But God's call is not limited to the clergy or church workers. God calls each and every one of us to follow him and to listen to him as our caller and to follow him. He calls his disciples to follow him. In the Middle Ages, the clergy was considered the high status of Christian than lay person. They had their own regiment of frequent daily worship that lay persons didn't have. They had church rules to follow, which lay persons don't have. They usually lived in communities and monasteries and covenants, unlike lay people. And sometimes the church has held on to this middle age perception. And sometimes the clergy have also reinforced this middle age perception that it is only those who are colored are the ones that are called by God. And anybody else who is not clergy is not called. So if you speak to somebody in the church, ordinary person, and say, "I feel God calling me," they might hear you as if you are saying you are being called to ordained ministry. But yet God is in the business of calling us, each and every one of us. And the Reformation eliminated those distinctions between the clergy and the lay people, affirming that God calls every one of us. And this is our heritage as United Reformed Church, as a Reformed tradition, that God calls each and every one of us. And he wants to work alongside us in a vocation which might be different from one person to the other, but we are called by God to follow him and to do as he instructs us to do. The Old Testament lessons in the book, which is the lectionary reading today from Jonah, talking about Jonah being called to go and preach in Nineveh. It talks about sometimes God calling us to a situation that we might not find ourselves comfortable to be. And Jonah is called to go and preach to the Ninevites, who were a very, very cruel people. And who were people that, you know, that when they were torturing any of their victims, they would skin them alive. That's how nasty they were. And then God calls Jonah and say to Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach to these people so that these people, they may be saved. No matter how nasty they are, if you go there, and that's why Jonah struggled to go to Nineveh because he knew how nasty these people were. And to such an extent that even when he went there under Judas to preach, they repented and God forgave them. And when God calls us, he calls us sometimes to easy situations that we find ourselves comfortable and we can partner with him without any challenges or difficulties. But God calls us to engage with him. And I always find it to be an honor to be called by God, because when God calls you, he wants to partner with you. You are working as partners. That's a great honor. None of us deserve to partner with God, because we are talking of a holy and mighty God, and we are somewhere under there, unholy and not strong and not dependable. But yet God calls us and he says, I want to partner with you, so that you can save me by making tea and coffee. You can save me by welcoming people into the church building. You can save me by having the opportunity to clean the church hall. You can save me by whatever you feel God is calling you. And God wants to partner with you. That's how valuable you are in God's eyes. And God, as he is in the business of calling people, he calls ordinary people. Ordinary people like you and me. Sometimes I marvel at God's wisdom of calling ordinary people like me. Although sometimes I think in my little head that God needs me. God has had to call me because, you know, God, because that's how important I am in my little head. But when I reflect on the goodness of God, I get humbled to say, God, you puzzle my mind because you chose to call an ordinary person like me, an incompetent person, a difficult person like me. And yet God, in his grace and in his mercy, he calls you. And I know some of you deserve the calling. But still, in your undeserving or deserving, God still calls us as his people to partner with him. We know very little background of the disciples that Jesus calls to follow him. Yes, we know that some were fishers were fishermen, and God calls them to be fishers of men. And I just want to probably go there and try my Reformed tradition heritage causes me to want to hammer that. And sometimes the people that Jesus calls, they have set a standard in our heads, and we think God only calls men, because we see all the disciples of Jesus were men. And when we see the art that depicts the Last Supper, we see of men, and we think God only calls men. But God calls men and women, old and young, and he wants to engage with us as people, as ordinary people as we are. Educated and uneducated, God calls us. Fishermen and tax collectors were ordinary people, and God calls them, or God has called them to follow him and to learn from him. We are ordinary people, yet God, in his wisdom, chooses to work with us. My preferred method would be God to save with angels. Now they know the score. They know what it means to be holy in holiness. They don't have the difficulties that we have. But yet God chooses to work with us. That's his business. To call you as an ordinary person and me as an ordinary person and say, I want to partner with you in my mission in the kingdom. And sometimes we respond to this calling positively. Sometimes we negatively respond to the calling of God by not doing anything about it. There are many things that God nudges us to do, and sometimes we don't do them because it's uncomfortable, because it makes us feel awkward, or sometimes we don't feel competent to do that because probably so-and-so could have been the better candidate. But I am here to remind you that God, when God speaks to you to do something as you are, he trusts you. He has the confidence in you to do that as you partner with him. Yeah, you are not on your own, but I know sometimes you feel you are on your own. But God wants to partner with you as an ordinary person and makes you to be extraordinary. And I love that God thinks of us and knows that sometimes we feel inadequate. That's why Jesus says to the disciples, tarry in Jerusalem until the power of the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he shall enable you to do the extraordinary things in your life. I don't want to leave you as orphans, Jesus assured the disciples. But when I go to the Father, I am going to ask him so that he may send the Comforter, the one who walks alongside you to support you, to strengthen you, to teach you, to assure you, to give you the words that you may want to say. God calls ordinary people, and he wants to work with ordinary people. And through his calling and empowering us, he makes us to be extraordinary because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God's calling is not always clear. My preferred, praise God that I'm not God, my preferred method would have been for God to make it very clear to me that when he calls me, whatever time he has called me, he can say, Andrew, in 5 years, you will be in Harare, and in 3 years, you will be in Cuba, and in 4 years, so that I can have the plan. You know, that's my preferred way of doing things. God, in his wisdom, has got his own plans. And I just want to warn you that when God is calling you, the calling may not be as clear as you may prefer, but probably for some of you, it's quite easy to follow that, but I struggle with that. When he calls us, one thing we have got to do as his people is to trust that he knows better, which is not always the case with me. To trust God that he knows better. Because sometimes I feel like I know better. That I know that's not a problem for many of us. But God calls us, and we are called to respond to him in trust, to know that God, you are God. You have been there before the world was formed. You know what the future holds. You have been in the future because in you, you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So you know everything that is between the beginning and the end. And therefore, I'm willing to trust you wherever I am in this span of beginning and the end. Trusting God is key. When God called the fishermen, he says, follow me. And they trusted him and followed him. And God did many signs and wonders with them, through them, and in them. Because they trusted him. They depended on him. But I'm not saying just because we trust him, things will be easier. Things will be difficult. Peter had followed Jesus, walked with him, listened to him, sat at his feet and learned and saw what Jesus was doing. But he faced a difficult time one time when he had gone to support Jesus to see what was really going to happen. And as he looked at the torture and the threats and the trial, one little girl came to him and said, I can hear your accent. This sounds like Galilean. Are you the friend with this Jesus? Peter said, No, I've got no clue. I don't even know this dude. 3 times he denied him. And sometimes we do deny. We don't feel we are called. We don't feel we are the right person. We don't feel we can fit in that category of calling. And that is where we miss it as church, when we don't respond to the call, to the nudging of God. God is asking you to do that, but in my wisdom, because I don't feel I'm the one who can do it, I try to nudge other people to do it. Yet God has entrusted the calling to you. And because I don't trust God enough to help me through the process, I think God can use this other person. And we miss the mark. When God asks you to share the gospel with somebody when you are walking, when you are shopping, and we miss that opportunity because we don't think we have the right skills. God's call is not always clear. Sometimes it is clear, sometimes it is not clear. But we have to continue trusting that he who has called us is faithful, is watching over our lives. He is going to empower and enable us. Please, would you assess how your calling is going? What do you feel God is calling you to? What do you think when you sit down, when you come to worship God in the morning, during the morning Sunday service, what is it that you think God has called you to? And how faithful are you to that calling? And what is it that God is showing you? Because sometimes you have God calling you to one calling, to be an elder, and God calls you to another calling. And are you prepared to respond to the other calling that God is calling you? Or sometimes we find ourselves comfortable in the calling that we think God has called us, or in the calling that we are sure that God has called us, and we find it uncomfortable to go outside our comfort zone. And it is important always that you respond to God's new callings, or you are comfortable to say, I'm a fisherman. I will always be a fisherman. I don't want to be a fisher of men. But God's calling sometimes changes. And it takes courage to respond to the new changes of God. But also, the question that I want to pose to you is how effective are you in your calling? Are you still pursuing that calling that God has given you? Are you still pursuing the new calling that God is calling you to? Are you open enough in your mind, in my mind? And sometimes I struggle because I think I am comfortable in the calling. When I was in training, I went to do my placement as a chaplain in the Royal Navy for 1 year. I struggled. If you know what, if I can say struggle. But I should admit, I struggled. Questioned myself, was I called to be a chaplain? But that was the calling at that time. And I obeyed God and did probably had an impact or no impact in that. But God sometimes calls us to certain places for a certain period of time, but we have to be willing to respond to that calling at that time and do the best we can do. Sometimes God will take us back to the calling where we were before. Sometimes God will never take us to that original calling we were. We have to be always open to say, God, I am here to partner with you in whatever job you are calling me to at this time. And God is faithful to his calling. It is he who calls you, who calls us, and he will walk with us in the calling. He will equip us in the calling. He will make sure he will provide what we need in the calling. But sometimes it doesn't feel like that. There are certain times where I need more in my calling. But I know, in all honesty, that God has provided enough resources for my calling, wherever God will call me. And it is important to be assured of God's provision and support and presence in the callings that God will call us. Amen. We come as guests invited by God to follow him and to dine with him at his communion table. We stand and we sing together.
be seated. Jesus was often a guest. He shared many meals with his friends, and they long remembered his words at the table. Though some disapproved of his company he kept, Jesus ate and drank with all kinds of people and showed everyone the love of God. Wherever people are together, Jesus was glad to be welcomed and to be fed. Today, we, as guests of Jesus, he welcomes us, whoever we are and whatever we bring. And he will feed us at his table, old or young, rich or poor, joyful or in sorrow. Jesus invites us to share bread and wine with him, to remember the story of his life and his death, and to celebrate his presence with us today in this place. On the night before he died, Jesus shared a meal with the 12 of his disciples in an upstairs room in Jerusalem. The gospel tells us that at that night, while they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body." Then took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly, I tell you, I will never again drink the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it in the new kingdom of God." Let's give thanks for the bread and the wine. Thank you, our bread of life. Thank you for the blood of the new covenant. May it be to us the body that is broken for us and the wine of the new covenant. As we partake of it together, be glorified. Renew our confidence in you. To the glory of your name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When Jesus had given thanks, he took a loaf of bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." eat, this is the bread of life. After supper, he took a cup and he said to them, his disciples, "This is the cup of the new covenant. Drink from it, all of you, in remembrance of me." Drink this wine. It is the cup of blessing. Let's pray. Loving God, you have fed us generously at your table. As we have remembered Jesus and rejoiced that he is with us today, we are ready now to follow him and to be your people in the world. May your Holy Spirit show us the way and make us holy, and fill us with your love. Amen. I've got something very difficult to do today. That's why I find being a minister sometimes difficult. That's why I would prefer to be in your seats today. Richard and Marvolia have been part and parcel of this church for a long time. And they feel God is leading them away from this place. And I've chatted with them and expressed my disappointment, but have come to terms with what God wants to do with them at this present time. And I've asked them if we could share in blessing them as they go where God is going to lead them to. And also to have the opportunity to thank them for their input in the life of this church, in particular Richard in his role as an elder and in his role in the finance and fabric team and his role as treasurer and his role of leading the services. I think that's the best I can say and do. There will be a card for us to sign, and I've asked if we could pray with them or they wanted to say something and give them that space. They might not want to say it, but the opportunity is there. But I just want to pray with them and you to stretch your hands towards them. If you would like to come up front, Richard and Marvolia, please. Do you want to say something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, Marvolia and I informed Andrew 2 weeks ago that we had decided that we were leaving this branch of God's Church. We're still going to be very much part of God's Church. This has not been a sudden decision. It has been one we've been wrestling with for several years. It's one that's been made for personal reasons. And they are going to remain private. It's a decision that comes with much sadness, but we are not focusing on that sadness. We want to focus on what we've shared together. And so when Andrew offered us the opportunity to announce our departure, rather than just to disappear, we said yes, because it gave us a chance to thank you for all that we have shared. So, just a few snippets from 23 years. We vividly remember our introduction to the church. We'd moved to Hinckley in mid-December 2000. And a few days before Christmas, we came to the evening service, which had started early. There was a small group gathered at the front of the church. And no sooner did we put our heads round the door than Malcolm Clark and Keith Holmes gathered us in and made sure we didn't escape. amongst that small group then was the late Anne Brown, and she invited us to spend Christmas with her and her mother, which was very kind, but we, having just got married that September of that year, this being our first Christmas, we wanted to spend that one on our own, so we did. But we did take up their hospitality at another time and join them for tea. I'll come back and say a few more words, but let Maronia say something.
We've appreciated your toleration of us introducing aspects of African church culture with visits from an African church in Leicester who brought their own musicians and with much singing and dancing. One visit was for an all-night prayer session, which didn't finish until early in the morning. A particular highlight was the inclusion in a church service of the wedding of Christiana, the eldest daughter of my twin sister, Meredith. She got married to Samuel Fusu, for which Julie Payne's daughter, Gabrielle, was the bridesmaid. Thank you, God. Bless you all, and thank you. You've been generous in meeting part of the cost of my visit to Brazil as a UK representative of the Christian Women Convention, and also in providing Christian books for us to distribute to the churches in Ghana.
We have been privileged during our time here to share our lives with some wonderful people, including some of those who are now with the Lord. The one who first made an impression upon us was the remarkable Cyril Snow. The older members will know him. We are people of habit, and we're still sitting now where we've always been sitting. And Cyril sat at the end of that row, and those who knew him will know how active he was, way into his 90s, looking after people far younger than him. So for those of us who are advancing in years, it gives hope for the future. And as Andrew said earlier, I've been honoured to be an elder and church treasurer for 17 years in this church. I couldn't have done either of those jobs without the support of the church. In terms of my treasury role, I owe a particular debt to the late Ernest Owen, to Malcolm Hook, to Brian Beagley, to Steve Ward, and to Philip Lindley, who've enabled me to do that. And in everything I've done, I totally dependent on my wife, Mavolia. I couldn't have done hardly anything of what I'd done without her. So we have much to be thankful for, and we have much to remember, which we will do. And we will continue to uphold you and the church in our prayers. So thank you.
I will pray with you. Congregation, you may stretch your hands towards them. God of the present, God of the past, and God of the future, we thank you for Richard and Malvolia. Thank you for your calling upon them. Thank you for what you have done and what you are doing and what you will do with them, in them, and through them. We bless them as they continue to be part and parcel of your body, which we are part of. May you lead them, guide them, bless them as they move forward. Be glorified. Thank you for the privilege to share with them in this local church. We give you praise and honor to the glory of your name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The church secretary would like to present you with a bunch of flowers.
Thank you. That's the least I can do. May God bless you. Sorry, can I just say there will be a card on the table. If you'd like to put your name on it, please do. Thank you.
We sing our closing hymn, which is "Come, set your rule and reign. Build your church here," we pray.
Thank you.
We share with one another the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us evermore. Amen.
And
'Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and the brotherly support we have for each other. We pray for Malcolm as he supports Wendy. We pray for your strength, your comfort, your wisdom. Pray that you would grant them the peace of the Lord which surpasses all understanding. We pray for many other people in this town, in this world, who are in the same situation, for your support, your assurance, and your comfort, to the glory of your name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Keith.